It's the 7th Annual Wooly Awards, live from GAA Towers at Fumbly Lane. Please welcome Conan Daugherty, Keen Ward, Damian Hayes, and your host, Cullum Wooly Parkinson.
All right, so welcome along. Yes, welcome to the Wooly Awards. It's very exciting to be here, lads. You're looking very well, scrubbed up really well in the tuxedos. Damian Hayes is on satellite in front of the audience here as well. Damian, you're looking well.
Thanks very much, Colin. Thank you.
Right, this year, lads, we have 6 awards to get through, award categories, and then we're going to pick Hurling All-Star Team, Football All-Star Team, Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, the usual story. So we'll start off with the first category, and it is for Goal of the Year. And we're going to start off with the football first. So the nominations for Football Goal of the Year are Conor Callaghan versus Mayo All-Ireland Final, unbelievable finish. Conor Loftus versus Derry in the qualifiers, a point down, a minute or two to go, lashes the top corner. Keane Connolly versus Galway in the Connacht final, unbelievable crossfield ball by Dermot Murta and a beautiful tasty finish. Jamie Clark versus Tipperary, whole load of nominations here by the way, lads. Jamie Clark versus Tipperary, the thing I loved about this was it was a dummy solo went wrong, but he had the composure to realise, shit, the dummy solo didn't come back up, I'm just going to dummy him soccer style and pull it away. Lee Keegan versus Dublin, the All-Ireland final, again, brilliant goal. Ronan O'Neill, chip versus Donegal. Cheeky towards the end. He's a cheeky player. And at that stage of the game, they kind of had it won, and you can showboat as much as you want. So what's the standout ones for the two of you, lads? You're here with me. I know who I'm fancying. What do you think?
Keane Connolly, Ross Common.
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal. There's no doubt about it. It was a lovely bit of composure when he got that beautiful ball.
Like the pass, the vision to see the pass before it even made the run. Like Murta was like, you're going in this direction, you're coming back because I'm going to play this ball inside the defender. Whipped it outside of his left boot, bounced perfectly in front of Connolly, and you're right, just this left footed sidestep into the bottom corner. And the conditions as well, horrible conditions, but it looked like a lovely summer day. No, that's definitely a standout for me.
Yeah, Keane.
Yeah, a lot of good goals there, and honourable mention as well for Conor Callaghan's against Tyrone in the semi final as well, which I thought was a cracking goal.
It was.
So he's, to my mind, I'd written a few down. The Conor Loftus against Derry, obviously, it was a fantastic goal for Mayo at a vital moment in the game, and a real goal I like to see where, you know, the net is absolutely lifted out of it. Lee Keegan's goal against Dublin in the final was obviously a magnificent goal and a really good team move as well.
Keegan's goal in the final was a great goal, but he kind of just lashed it.
Yeah.
Like the way, do you know a secret of beating Stephen Cluxton? With a goal.
If you don't know where it's going, he doesn't either.
If you actually miss kick it a bit. Because Cluxton's one of the few goalkeepers that actually tries to read where you're kicking it. So if you're going off the outside of your boot to the left corner, you're coming in that way. That's the way he sees it hitting your boot. And if that slices slightly off it, he's going that side. And that's how he's often beaten for goals, by miss kicks, because he goes early.
I would go for the O'Callaghan goal against Mayo in the final, just because of the importance of the goal, the time of the game, just everything about it. Just showed huge leadership, and it was just a beautiful finish as well.
It was a beautiful finish. It came down to me between Conor Callaghan and Conor Loftus, and just for pure spectacular goal top corner, I'm going to give the Wooly Award to Conor Loftus, because and it was even the move leading up to it. It was Seamus O'Shea out under the sideline. They're a point down after 68 minutes against Derry in the qualifiers. They're going out. Seamus O'Shea plays a lovely diagonal ball into Andy Moran, who ships it off to Loftus, who just comes on a burst and never breaking strides, just a bullet into the top corner. So, like, I mean, just for pure spectacular, I accept Conor Callaghan, the way he finished that and dropped it onto his foot was a thing of beauty as well. Just a different type of goal. So for the Football Goal of the Year, we're going to give that to Conor Loftus. Okay, Hurling Goal of the Year, Damien. So what I have down here for Hurling Goal of the Year, we have Austin Gleeson versus Cork. Like the egg and spoon race there, where he just kind of floated in between everybody and then the dummy at the end, unbelievable. Jamie Barron versus Kilkenny. You're at the end of injury time, everyone else is wrecked, and he just kind of strolls through, and a brilliant finish to the bottom of the net. I've Kyle Hayes versus Clare, scored a brilliant goal kind of 21 metres out to get Limerick back into the game against Clare. He's just a young player. And I've Alan Cadigan in that same game, who scored a goal early in that game, and he collected the ball outside. It wasn't the same game, what am I talking about? This is the Munster final. Alan Cadigan get a ball out under the stand, did that thing of batting the ball off the ground to come back up into his hand, even though he had two plays with it. So you usually do that when you've tapped it into your hand once, but he just did it straight away. I think he was showing off and buried it into the back of the net. Anything to add to that, Damien, or who would you go for out of those four?
Well, to me, it was between Jamie Barron and Austin Gleeson. So there were two very, very important goals that were. Jamie Barron, actually, if you ever go back through that clip, he got that ball, he sold it straight through the middle, he gave the dummy hand pass, and interesting enough, he struck the ball into the net with the wrong end of the hurl, actually with the handle.
Really?
He did. So he did, if you go back through it, he actually struck it with the wrong side. And then you had Austin Gleeson's goal against Cork, which, being honest, it was just magical. It's, you know, you have young lads around the country talking about it. So for the award, I think Austin Gleeson deserves the award for what he did. It was the way he gathered the ball. He sold it in, and he was weaving from left and right. Some say he should have passed the ball to Brick Walsh. Others say he was right to shoot. Look, it's irrelevant now. He put the ball in the back of the net and he just little scoop. It was a cheeky little effort, so it was. But, you know, as I think Anthony Daly said it one time, he goes, this is what we're here to see. We want to see these type of moments. And my award goes to Austin Gleeson. I thought it was just personally myself. Pace, weaving, skill, and just a little bit of cheeky touch of class. So Austin Gleeson gets my award.
Yeah, okay. So I think, in fairness, both those, it's down between Jamie Barron and Austin Gleeson for me too, Damien. And it's interesting, both goals were scored with a dummy hand pass just before they scored it, which you'd love to see more of that in both football and in hurling, the own mulligan type thing. Yeah, so I'm going to go for Austin Gleeson as well. It was beyond belief what he did there. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a goal like that, showing that much skill in such a tight area, and then the deft little finish. So it was a pretty obvious one for me in the hurling. So the Woolley Award for the best goal of the year in hurling goes to Austin Gleeson. Alright, point of the year this time, lads. We'll start with hurling first here, Damien. So what I have down here are four unbelievable points. If you've anything to add to it, you can add to it, or let's comment on the four of these, lads. If you've got anything to say about the hurling, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
No, fire away.
So Austin Gleeson versus Cork, lads, first round of the Munster Championship. He wasn't having a good game, but he just slid down on one leg, tapped the ball up into his hands, and on the turn just knocked it over the bar. Again, outrageous. They're the almost two moments of the season from Austin Gleeson, between the goal and the point. Another one was in the 14th minute of the opening Munster Championship match between Cork and Tipperary. Anthony Nash poke out. Connor Lehan, kind of half on the turn, catches it in around his belly, and as he turns, he's just completely free, runs up the wing up to about 45, completely on the sideline, and knocks it over the bar. Joe Canning versus Tipperary. We all know about this one. There's no point in even talking through this. This wins them the game. And Conor Cooney versus Wexford with a breathtaking score in Leinster final. Was that in the All-Ireland final, where he just went to go on the left, balanced it on the hurl, and brings it back onto the right? Which game was that in, Damien, and puts it over the bar? I think it was Wexford.
That was in the Leinster final.
That was the Leinster final against Wexford, yeah. He got seven from play that day, in an unbelievable performance. What do you think there?
Also, just to remember Horgan's point as well, if you can remember it, against Waterford, cross field ball, he jumped up, controlled it on the swivel, if you can remember that one, Colm.
Yeah.
And just a little and then he shortened his grip and threw it over the bar. It was absolutely incredible. But look at all them scores are unbelievable. They're all great scores, right? But there's only one point that you can talk about on this one, and that's Joe Cannon that scored a game against Tipperary. What it was worth, it was just a super strike under pressure. You know, you had Johnny Cohn, who people say controversially threw the ball, whether he did or he didn't. Maybe if he did, it's even better, right? So it is. And Joe's strike just over the bar. So I put, like as you said, you had Austin Gleeson score, you had Joseph Cooney score, you had all these other scores, but just for the score, that what it did, and with the outcome of the game and the way the game ended up, and Galway didn't go on and win the All-Ireland, my vote goes to Joe Cannon for his incredible effort.
Yeah, geez, we're agreeing on everything here, Dave. I mean, I've Joe Canning down as well. Just for pure, like, I mean, the pressure, geez, my heart was racing for that game. And that, when that went over, I think when you see Joe Canning celebrating that, I think most hurling fans would have been absolutely thrilled for him. There was so much pressure on that. Conan, you're looking at me there.
I would have went Gleeson as well.
You would have gone.
Just but that pure was a skill.
Yeah, pure skill. You're right, but like, I mean, there are different types of points. We can only
you can say Gleeson, right? The debate is maybe Austin does things during the year that he could win lots of awards, but you're just thinking of last seconds of an All-Ireland semi-final to tie into an All-Ireland final where Austin Gleeson's was a game against Cork where they lost and still had the whole back door system to go through, you know, in the qualifiers. So they're two good scores, but just in the context of what the awards, like he saying, you know, Conor Callaghan's goal in the All-Ireland final for what it did, where we were someone other footballer scored a goal in the qualifiers, just the context of the time of year.
Yeah.
But I think it was a super score by Joe.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the Woolley Award for Point of the Year in hurling goes to Joe Canning. All right, let's football point of the year. And listen, we've been spoiled for choice. Those four hurling points are absolutely sensational. It's even hard to pick between them. We've been spoiled with football points as well, lads. So the nominations are, you know, different points that are definitely in our minds here are Daniel Flynn versus Dublin, Leinster final, beyond belief what he did there. I was talking to Conor Moore, who spoke to Daniel Flynn, and Daniel Flynn assures him he meant it. So listen,
I was
thinking he meant it anyways. Kinnear Harrison, lads, against Monaghan. So you could take an example or two of ones in the first game if you wanted. It's the one in Croke Park that I'm actually picking. He got it out under Cusick stand, and he, you know, he was going nowhere, and he was able to turn and make some space and curl it over on his right foot. Conor McCarthy, a game I was at, he threw a few dummy solos, went down the left wing and stuck it over off the outside of his left. I thought that was a beautiful score. Michael Geaney versus Cork. This was at the start of the Munster final when Kerry were playing some absolute champagne football, some of the best football we've seen all year. It was Anthony Marr with a crossfield ball into Paul Geaney, who didn't even catch it. He just flicked it on to Mikey Geaney, who was running past him at speed, and tapped it over the bar. A thing of beauty for a traditionalist like myself, who loves to see those types of scores. Dermot Connolly versus Mayo in the All-Ireland final, only came on at half time, really important stage of the game, and he stuck that over. You can also stick James McCarthy's point in the All-Ireland final, his second one, such an important time of the game. Started the ball about 3 or 4 feet outside the post and had the confidence, knowing that that was just going to sneak back in. That takes a lot of balls as well. He could have gone for the middle of the goals and missed it on the left. They're not easy shots. Paddy Durkin's equalising point against Kerry. Loads of options there, lads. So, Keane, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Conor Harrison got a few cracking points. Even in the first day out against Mullen, He got a couple of brilliant scores. One in particular off his left foot under the stand was just a brilliant score. David Moran got an unbelievable point against Dublin in the league final, where he had two or three lads hanging off him and somehow managed to get it over the bars. A bit like Sean Cavanagh's
in
the
Ulster
final. That to me was just a sensational point as well in such a tight game. Paddy Durkin for the importance of it against Kerry, you know, quality strike. But to me, over the course of the whole season, like, Daniel Flynn's point against Dublin was just, as you said, beyond belief. It was just sensational. Like, he picked the ball up on the halfway line. I think he hopped it over Conor Callaghan's head, flicked it over his head, just tore down the wing and had a look at the posts and steadied up and just absolutely nailed it over. I wouldn't even question that it was a crossfield pass. It was just an unbelievable score. And yeah, I don't think anything else from the season can even touch that. And I think we had a brilliant camera angle on it as well, which always helps.
It does help. Conan, what are you going with there?
I'm going with Paddy Durkin against Kerry. I remember after like 74th minute, like, you know, it rescued them, got the draw, so they ended up beating Kerry in the semi-final. I remember after that game thinking, where on earth would Mayo be without Paddy Durkin? Because he scored, you look at the stats, we mentioned Conor Loftus' goal, but there were 17 minutes there in that game against Derry where Mayo hadn't scored, and it was Durkin again from downtown, got them going. That left a point in it, got Loftus a goal. He scored in the 75th minute against Cork in a game that ended up being a draw. He scored in the 68th minute against Roscommon, the game ended up being a draw. He just kept coming up time and time again, and that one against Kerry was the most important and the reason he got to the final.
Jeez, you're making a good case for Paddy Durkin there for a Woolley Award All-Star there, as if he wasn't even in my reckoning. Yeah, listen, lads, I'm taking all your... What about you, Damien? Any interest in any of those?
I would go with Flynn as well for that point. I thought, but I remember seeing that game, watching it, and just incredible score. So for what it's worth, I would go with Flynn. brilliant score.
Yeah, okay, lads. So I've taken all your recommendations on board, but and the Woolley Award for Gaelic Football Point of the Year goes to Daniel Flynn. All right, great stuff, Daniel Flynn there. I think that was a pretty obvious one too. Spectacular stuff. So disappointment of the year is for Woolley Award number 3. We're not sure this is an award or, you know, this is like the wooden spoon of awards. This is one you don't want. This is a Woolley you don't want to be getting. So for Gaelic football, we'll start here first. First team up for disappointment of the year is Laois. I think when you look at their season as a whole, I don't put too much weight on the league, lads, because a lot of managers don't necessarily treat it too seriously. A lot of players only come back halfway through it, and it is our best competition, but I would just love for that to be the championship where you could actually... Another really... We'll get on to this for team of the year is the amount of big games Mayo played in comparison to other teams. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous how their players have been in the shop window over others. And then you have to pick All-Star awards, and it doesn't seem fair that some, you know, players have been in bigger games than others. So first football disappointment of the year is my own county, Laois. So a disgraceful year really is the best way of putting it. And what's the manager's name? Creedon. Creedon's after paying the price. He's given the bullet. So they were relegated out of Division 3. They were hammered by Kildare in the Leinster Championship and hammered by Clare in the qualifiers. So it doesn't get any worse than that from a Laois point of view. I've Galway in here, lads, because when, you know, there was so much expectation from Galway after winning the Connacht final last year. It's a really difficult one with Galway in that they're in for disappointment of the year despite having beaten Mayo and having beaten Donegal convincingly. But when you look at that Roscommon game, when they had to win it, they were beaten well that day, and against Kerry they really had a very poor performance. It was like a challenge game that day, and Galway just went out with a whimper. And it's almost like, I think Galway are victims of the expectations we had of them. I'm tipping them to win the All-Ireland in the next 3 years.
2 years left.
I've only 2 years left, have I? Jesus. So, like, I mean, because of the standards I would kind of have for Galway, they're a big disappointment. And Donegal is the other one. So they were hammered by Tyrone in the Ulster Championship, and then hammered by Galway in the qualifiers. Scraped over Meath, who are lucky enough not to be in disappointment of the year as well, Keane, to be honest. Outside of the three of those, anything to add to that, lads?
Yeah, if you do an individual, Jim McConnelly maybe, like, what a shame, you know, just misses the whole championship for a push, like, you know, whatever it is. We're not going to get into that, but
he'll get Dear McConnelly into any conversation, won't he?
It's just unbelievable.
I have not mentioned one individual in my three nominations, and he's putting Dear McConnelly into this.
I felt bad for overlooking him in the last category, but you see how good he was in the second half. That's all we saw, like 35 minutes of him in the championship.
He's still talking about Dear McConnelly.
Kane, go ahead.
I can't believe you're at this, Connor. This is ridiculous. Disappointment of the year. Obviously, look, I'd be disappointed with the way Meath's championship season went. They put a lot of effort into the league, narrowly missed out on promotion to Kildare and Galway, and their championship season was really just almost non-existent, really. They lost to Donegal by a point, but when Galway went out and subsequently beat them the following week,
yeah, you wouldn't
score, it kind of just puts your championship season into a bit of perspective. I have Cork written down here as well, but I don't really think they're a disappointment because we didn't really expect anything of them.
Yeah, they kind of rallied against Mayo and kind of saved their season.
That's the thing, when you see them capable of performance levels like that, I mean, that's why you kind of still have them in the list, because there's definitely talent there. When I looked at my disappointment of the year was the Tyrone versus Dublin All-Ireland semi-final, because we had that built up to be a cracking game and a game where we thought Dublin would be tested, and they weren't at all. It was quite easy for them. It turned out to be a very pedestrian game, and there was a lot of defeatist talk afterwards from Tyrone, like even Sean Kavanagh, you know, talking about Dublin the best team he's ever played against and all this sort of stuff. So, I mean, like, that was a game where Tyrone were just broken by Dublin. And it puts serious question marks over Tyrone for next season as well, because if they have that sort of scarring in their system, you know, how are they going to get over that? You know, it's definitely a challenge for them. But if you're talking about it, it looks like we're talking about a team, so I'm going to go for Laois, horrendous season, but Galway really have to be the disappointment, because, again, they win Division 2 of the league and you're looking forward to them having a good championship, and they beat Mayo in what was wasn't really a great game, and they just did nothing after that really to justify anything. When it came to Croke Park, they just weren't at the races at all. So from that perspective, a team you had reasonable expectations for, they were very disappointing.
Yeah, well, it's true. Disappointment of the year did start out at teams, but maybe we might expand disappointment of the year for anything we want, really.
But games, Dublin, Tyrone, Connolly only got a minute in that game as well. That was quite a disappointment.
For him, I'm sure, and
but
you.
But Eric Lowndes was playing well.
Disappointment of the year. Hill 16 realising it was Eric Lowndes and not Dear McConnolly. Right, I'm going for biggest disappointment of the year, Laois, lads. It was just hugely disappointing when you look at the whole season, the Division 4 embarrassment followed up by an awful championship, and all this is in the context, I know, not nationally but within Laois, of Creedon coming in, you know, optimism within the county that we can push on out of Division 3, get back into Division 2 and, you know, give Leinster a bit of a rattle outside of Dublin, and you end up going completely the opposite way. You've set yourself even further back. So biggest disappointment, disappointing team of the year, unfortunately, is Mayo County Laois. All right, biggest hurling disappointment. We can go team, Damien. We can go whatever way you want to take it, like the two lads, whatever way you think. What I have down here is Kilkenny. Biggest disappointment, they lost against Wexford, which is embarrassing for Kilkenny, having lost in the championship to them for a long, long time. They rallied briefly against Limerick. Well, lucky enough to beat them in Nolan Park, and Limerick were no great shakes against Clare. They're a very young team. Then go out against Waterford. They've no All-Stars this year. Dublin, I think, goes without saying, for the last 3 years under Cunningham, that they're a huge disappointment. And I put Clare in here as well, because the new management this year, Davy had gone, expectations were high, these were the under-21s, their style of play was going to change. Didn't see an awful lot new from them at all. Like, I mean, they were never really in that Tipperary game, despite getting goals. And against Limerick, they kind of struggled against them, and I don't think in the Munster final ever looked like winning that either. So what do you think, Damien?
Yeah, I agree with all them three teams with the column. Clare, very disappointing season. Dublin, very disappointing season. Kilkenny, very disappointing season. Right? But for me, the biggest disappointment in this year's season was Tipperary.
Really?
I was so, so disappointed in them, in the sense that, so we're after winning last year's All-Ireland. I'm such an admirer of so many of them lads that are hurling. I think they have such brilliant players, brilliant forwards. I think they were a massive, massive letdown. So I do. I think their management team could have handled things a lot better with things that went on. There was things going on in that camp, outside of the camp. So there was, you know, it was. I just felt that Tipperary were a massive, massive disappointment. They gave up their Munster Championship. They gave up their All Ireland. They only got one All Star this year. For the team of players that they have and at their disposal, they've been a massive, massive disappointment. And For me, Tipperary would win that award, because they should have been, you know, they have the players to go do two in a row. They couldn't do it. That bunch of players effectively only won two All-Ireland medals, and they could possibly be going for five. And they're just, for the talent that they have, they're just a big disappointment. And I was very disappointed. For, like, I think you and me, Willie, we spoke about them against after the play in Wexford, and they scoring goals for fun, and the way they were picking out players, and the ball that bubbles hit over Noel McGrath putting back, and everything just went downhill, whether they were too big for their own boots or whatever. But Tipperary would be my big awards there. They were just a massive disappointment, and they're very, very disappointed in that team down in Tipperary alone. So I would definitely put in Tipperary at the top of that list.
Geez, you made a strong case for Tipperary there. They weren't even, I thought maybe the game against Galway redeemed them a little bit, you know, beating Clare, and then, you know, the brilliant
game. The big thing I say there then, Colm, is, you know, when you're saying that the game against Galway redeemed themselves, but number one, they lost it. But number two, I feel that, you know, and I'm talking here now as an analyst and a pundit or whatever you want to call it, you know, maybe a simple decision by the Tipperary management could have won that game for Tipperary, with taking the fees off Shamey Callan. Just something simple like this. And it looked like they didn't have the balls to do it or whatever you want to call it, but I felt that Tipperary management didn't have a great year last year in comparison to what the Galway management did, you know. And I know no year is true, but I just think for what that Tipperary team are capable of doing and what that Tipperary team should be doing, they're a massive, massive disappointment. And I tell you one thing, in my opinion, they're at a bit of a crossroads there now. They mightn't have as much of the quality players that they think they have, and certain players left the panel during the year and other lads were suspended, and then there was the rumour then that another player should have got suspended that didn't get suspended because he did as much wrong. But Anas, I'm not going to start naming names, but Anas, I Tipperary, my massive disappointment this year. I thought that they should have been winning Munster championships and going on to even compete in the All-Ireland, but Galway took them out, which was great. But yeah, that's my team, Tipperary, big disappointment.
Okay, it's not often my mind has changed. You've made such a compelling case there, being hammered in the league final, all sorts of rumours coming out of the camp, hotels, rumours from hotels, Cottle Barrett obviously getting dropped off the panel for discipline, losing their Munster title, losing their All-Ireland title, and it just being a bit of a mess of a season for Tipperary. So we're going to give Tipperary biggest disappointment of the season. All right, Woolley Award number four, lads, is for tactical decision of the year. I'm going to go with football first. So I'm going to start with Aidan O'Shea at full-back against Kerry. It took us all by surprise, not saying whether this was the best tactical decision, but it certainly, when you hear Kieran Donaghy's side of it, and Kieran Donaghy's saying that because Aidan O'Shea won the very first ball off him and the Mayo crowd went so ballistic about it, even though it was a shite ball, a big skyscraper, Aidan O'Shea won it. Kieran Donaghy said, I'm going to head to the wing here, I'm going to take Aidan O'Shea out of there because I don't want them getting this lift. So completely, when you think of it that way, it completely worked against Kerry because it completely got into Kieran Donaghy's head, and Kieran Donaghy, instead of standing on the edge of the square, brought Aidan O'Shea over to the wings. And like, I mean, that is not what Kerry would have wanted, and it's 100% what Mayo would have wanted. So like, I mean, for that reason, I'm putting Aidan O'Shea in there. Andy Moran playing closer to goal, obviously won Player of the Year and the All-Stars last Friday night. He told me on the GR a few weeks ago that Stephen Rochford specifically told him not to be running to the wings anymore, to stay in close to goals, he doesn't have the legs for that game, and to work on his shooting. And then he wins Footballer of the Year. So Stephen Rochford take a bow there, and Andy Moran obviously taking a bow. Lee Keegan, geez, the first three are Mayo here, lads. Lee Keegan being put on Andy Smith in midfield against Roscommon and scored 1-3 off him. So like, I mean, Smith had no idea this was coming, which he said to us, which I thought was a surprise as well on the show, and he was completely thrown off his game. Dublin versus Tyrone, tactical masterclass. Everyone thought Tyrone had Dublin's number, especially Conan. Dublin obviously proved that that's complete nonsense. Jason Sherlock's influence is very obvious. They throw the ball around a lot, they don't take it into the tackle, they keep lads posted out on the wing for out balls. It was a tactical masterclass, and thanks to Jason Sherlock and thanks to Dublin, we may be seeing an end to this really, really defensive football. So we owe Jason Sherlock a huge debt of gratitude there for that one, because Conor McManus was saying recently in an interview he doesn't think those defensive tactics have a chance against Dublin, and that's a player that plays with a two-man full forward line and everyone else behind the ball. I think Down deserve a mention against Monaghan. Completely surprised Monaghan with a kicking game that nobody expected. Moved the ball so fast, long balls into Conor Harrison, who was outstanding, and it was just a different way of playing against Monaghan. They were beating any kind of defensive system they had, and they were letting the ball in early, which is, it was a departure from the way we had been seeing Down playing for the last few years. So like, I mean, they are the ones I can think of, lads.
I can't believe Aidan O'Shea's on that list. He got roasted by Donaghy. Doesn't, like, you know, it doesn't matter where Donaghy got the ball. I think he took O'Shea to the cleaners that day.
First day now, he didn't the second day.
Yeah, the second day was actually a lot better because he sort of alternated in between fullback and going out to halfback where he could push on a bit. Like, his effect was gone, I thought, of fullback, whereas Donaghy was still getting the ball. Didn't matter how he was getting it, he was getting it. But the second day, yeah, he was dropping back in case there was a high ball, then able to push out again. Him and Vaughan seemed to work it well. I think the Andy Moran one's probably the best because it just lasted the whole year. It was brilliant. Killian O'Connor, although he still ended up as a championship top scorer, almost sacrificed himself a little bit by coming a bit deeper to you, keeping Andy Moran right in front of the goals. He picked the passes inside him a lot as well. He got the second ball off Doherty, then he fed Andy Moran a lot, where he was just getting the ball in very dangerous positions. And you look at the way he was playing, he could do that for the next few years, like just staying in around that pocket, yeah, and not moving from the goals.
Yeah, it's great to hear that, isn't it, that Rochford identified that and he's won Player of the Year from it. Like, that's good management, and like, it's only good management because he made it Andy Moore yeah. had the cleverness to make it good man.
Well, look, he had the skill set to do it as well. I think, look, I put that's just good coaching. I don't see that as really much of a tactical decision. That's an individual thing with one player and a bit of coaching. When I was looking at it, tactical decisions of the year, the only three I wrote down were Rochford, Aidan O'Shea, Fitzmaurice, no James O'Sullivan, no James O'Donoghue, and Jim Gavin, no Dear McConnelly in the final. Three absolutely ridiculous decisions. Jim Gavin got away with it by not starting. You know, he got away with it. Dublin just got over the line. Fitzmaurice didn't get away with it by not starting. James O'Donoghue, Kerry were very poor in the replay. And Rochford was blessed that the game went to a replay for Mayo the first day out. So they were the three that I remember from the year as being, I suppose, I know they were before the game. Sometimes when you're thinking of a tactical decision, you're thinking more of a change that's made in game. And look, maybe the Keegan one, moving him on to Enda Smith. I don't think he started on Enda Smith that day against Roscommon.
No, he did.
He started him. So look, I'm not going to give that as much credit then. So really, I think I'd have to look at the overall tactical masterclass, which was Dublin's performance against Tyrone, when they knew what they were going to come up against, and they had their strategy to get around it. And that, to me, was really the thing. That it didn't matter what Dublin player was in what position. Tactically, they were set up so well. They knew exactly what they had to do to drag Tyrone defenders out of the way and to make the game the cakewalk for themselves that it was.
Another good little tactical decision was when Lee Keegan played centre half forward against Kerry the very first day. They put him on Tadhg Morley at centre forward, and Fitzmaurice immediately identified that and moved Paul Murphy over to Keegan, and we saw Paul Murphy do a great job on Keegan. So that was a lovely little tactical move by Fitzmaurice. Seeing as you're being negative on him, I'll give him in a little bit of a brighter light. But the Woolley Award for tactical decision of the year, or tactics of the year, has to be Dublin versus Tyrone. It was a game that was billed that Tyrone had Dublin's number for the last 3 years, and they fairly emphatically proved that Tyrone absolutely don't have their number. They've blown the myth that defensive tactics work against them, especially in Croke Park. It won't work against them, because over the course of a few years, and I'm sure with Jason Sherlock's input and basketball input, Dublin are no longer giving up the turnovers that the defensive teams need. So, like, I mean, that kind of thing is gone. So the Woolley Award goes to Dublin and Dublin management, and in particular Jason Sherlock. All right, hurling tactical decision of the year, Damien. I'm going to give you the ones I have written down here, if you have anything to add to it. So we have Clare management throwing Anthony Nash's slitters into the crowd. I thought tactically that was an outstanding manoeuvre. Really got into Nash's head, and we heard that recently. Dermot O'Sullivan told us that Nash was going mad at halftime in the dressing room. I thought this was another lovely little one that Dermot O'Sullivan told us about. They played Stephen MacDonald and Austin Gleeson in the All-Ireland semi-final. Colm Spillane had roasted Austin Gleeson in the first round of the Munster, and I asked Dermot O'Sullivan, why didn't you leave Spillane and Gleeson when he did so well in him? And Dermot O'Sullivan says, because that's what Gleeson thought we would do. So, which I thought was a lovely little answer, even though he's done well, but we're still going to try and get into his head by putting somebody else. And MacDonald did really, really well on him. Gleeson didn't start cleaning up until he went on Ellis late in the game, and he started running amok. I think the Galway management's decision to play Cottle Mannion on Paddy Maher in the league final, I thought that was a great tactical decision. He ran Paddy Maher all over the place, took Paddy Maher out of the game under puckouts, and we saw the Cork management doing the exact same move, putting Luke Mead on Paddy Maher in the first round of the Munster. So, like, I mean, they learned that from Galway, and I think Galway starting Johnny Glynn in the final to put him on the edge of the square, completely occupied Tadhg De Burka, took him out of the game because he had to double watch him, and was able to make space for all the other forwards. So they're the four I have down here, Damien. What do you think of them, or anything to add to it?
Yeah, no, they're all good. But I just added one other thing now. I don't know whether it's relevant or whatever, but when you say tactical decision, that means, you know, something that worked out and something that was a defining moment. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I have put down here is my tactical decision of the year is Micheál Donoghue going down and getting what I call physical conditioning coach Lucas. I'm not able to pronounce his second name, I apologise, right? He was the trainer and physical conditioning coach for Tipperary. Micheál Donoghue would have known a lot about him. He felt this is an area that Galway needs to improve on going forward to really put a stamp on trying to win the All-Ireland, and he went and he got Lucas, the physical conditioning coach, to come on board with Galway. And that turned out to be a massive, massive decision for Galway to go on and win the All-Ireland. All the players speak so highly of this guy. I've never met him in my life or anything like that, but they speak so highly of him. And I think that was a massive, massive thing. So yes, all the other things that you said, are good decisions and all that. But as decisions going and as tactically going, and something that was a defining moment maybe that worked out in the end, I think that deserves a lot of mention. So for me, that was my tactical decision of the year.
Yeah.
From Micheál to bringing Lucas into the setup.
Yeah, okay, it was more kind of in-game tactics and stuff I was thinking of, but I'll accept that kind of managerial tactical decision which Galway needed. I'm going to give the Woolley Award here to the Clare management led by Donal O'Cusack, who won't admit it, but we're pretty sure he was well behind this, who would have known Anthony Nash very well. He would have known how particular he is in preparation, and with the balls he has ready to go, he would have pared down those balls exactly the way he wanted them. Donal O' would have known all this, and cheekily went down and threw him into the crowd out of order, by the way, but still, this is gamesmanship of the highest order. It's a bit of a tenuous link to tactics, but I really liked it, and it was a huge talking point during the summer, and any kind of decisions that give us a huge talking point, I'm all for them. So we'll give that to the Clare management, and especially Donal O'Cusack, who will never admit it. All right, lads, individual performance of the year. Football, we're going to start off with here. Now, this is obviously man of the match, the best man of the match of the year, because, you know, this is just like a one-off brilliant, brilliant performance. And there's been loads of these. So, Enda Smith, Connacht final. Sean Murphy versus Dublin, first round for Carlo. Kevin Feely versus Dublin took Fenton to the cleaners, when we never see that. Conor Callaghan versus Tyrone, outstanding. Caelan Mooney versus Armagh, an explosive wing back. Kinnear Harrison versus Monaghan. Lee Keegan versus Roscommon. James O'Donoghue versus Clare. Andy Moran versus Kerry. There's so many examples. The more I look at this, and the more I look at the points we've seen, the performances we've seen, I'm starting to think that we're having one of the greatest championships that we've always seen. Now, we're not going to get into that, but what are you thinking here, lads, for individual performance of the year?
Yeah, it's probably between two Mayo men again. Enda Smith is very good as well, but Lee Keegan or Andy Moran, I'd probably side with Andy Moran. Was it 1-5 he ended up with against Kerry that day?
Yeah, like, and Enright.
And I remember sitting like where it was in the first row on the Hogan stand on the 13 metre line, just watching his movement, just what we were talking about in the last section there, and he just always free, won so many balls. Like, he won a lot of free kicks as well, which Killian O'Connor put away. It was just non-stop impact for over an hour. Like, yeah, it was brilliant to watch, and it was just like this boy just burst onto the scene, like, of all the energy he had. Yeah, he's the one for me.
Yeah, David Moran in the league final as well against Dublin was a magnificent performance. I think that deserves a mention. Outside of that, Conor Harrison against Monaghan, I think, was really just an unbelievable man of the match performance, considering the opponent he's up against as well.
Yeah.
And the fact that Monaghan
massive
played
underdogs.
Quite defensively, massive underdogs.
Drew Wiley.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Up against Drew Wiley, who I'd never seen anybody get the better of him, really, in the games we'd seen him play in. And for Harrison to give him two roastings was just impressive. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just had the measure of him in this particular season. So that his performance against Monaghan, both days out, but his performance against Monaghan was sensational. Sean Murphy from Carlow against Dublin was just an incredibly eye-catching performance. And I think it sticks in the memory very well because of the fact that it was such an underdog against the mammoths that is Dublin. So, I mean, for him to deliver the performance that he did and to be the standout player on the pitch when there's so many stars on the Dublin team, and look, let's be honest about it, he wouldn't have had the same quality of teammate beside him as the Dublin guys would have. So that sort of elevates his performance even further. I'd probably just side with him on that, actually.
It came down to two, lads. It came down to Sean Murphy versus Dublin, and people talk about performances in All-Ireland final. That was Sean Murphy's All-Ireland final against Dublin in the first round in Amore Park. There's no doubt about that. That's that same pressure, all those feelings that Dublin players will have felt in an All-Ireland final. That's what Sean Murphy would be feeling before playing them, massive underdogs, and was able to take the game to Dublin. Lee Keegan on Smith I was calling him Andy Smith earlier. Enda Smith. What was I talking of? You're looking at me without even correcting me. The two of you. Andy Smith plays with Galway. He used to play with Galway. He's Damien's teammate.
I just thought it was your dodgy accent.
Lee Keegan versus Roscommon, lads. You've got Enda Smith, the man of the match in the Connacht final. You talk about hammering the hammer. He went into a position he doesn't play in all the time and ends up hitting 1-3 in the first half off Enda Smith, which is almost beyond belief.
When they'd gone so far behind as well.
They'd gone so far behind that they were in so much trouble. So, like, I mean, it's really, really difficult. It's a complete toss-up here. And just purely for the eye-catching display and the fact that Carlo are a minnow and going to go for Sean Murphy, like, I mean, going up against the might of Dublin and to be the standout player and to play as well as he did and have that speed and able to break through the lines, he was definitely eye-catching. And I think Carlo deserves some recognition for the year that they're after having. And Sean Murphy's going to give him that recognition because he's getting the Woolley for individual performance of the year. Congratulations, Sean Murphy. All right, the hurling one, Damien. This is the ones I have down. I think I have them fairly well covered, individual performance of the year. So Conor Lehan versus Tip. You've Garrod McInerney versus Tip. You've Jamie Varan versus Kilkenny. You've Lee Chin versus Kilkenny. You've Patrick Horgan versus Waterford. And you've Conor Cooney versus Wexford in the Leinster final. So there's six individual performances there. You'll be doing well to think of one that's outside that six. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy enough with the six that you've picked. I'll narrow it down to two. So I'm going to go with the two top ones. I'm going to go with Lee Chin from Wexford, down in Wexford Park against Kilkenny. I thought when it came to looking for leaders, he was the leader that day. And I was delighted for Wexford too, because it was the start of maybe hopefully a revival in Wexford hurling. So it was great to see them beating Kilkenny, and it was great to see them on a good run for the hurling during the summer. But my award and my outstanding performance of the year goes to Carlos McInerney at centre back. So it was against Tipperary. I thought, especially in that last 15 minutes when the game was there to be won, Tip were bombing balls down and he was just plucking them out of the sky. So it was no different to his own father, Jerry. So, but you know, and the, you know, just to give Garrod his credit, there would have been some people in Galway that would have doubted Garrod whether he was good enough for this Galway team, whether he was good enough to see out centre back. And by God, he answered any critics. And I was delighted to see him getting his All Star as well the other day. And he's a fierce, nice fella, and he's fierce, dedicated. So he's, and it was great to see it. So my performance of the year goes to Garrod McInerney, and fair play to him. That's all I can say.
Yeah, okay, that's it's hard to disagree. All six were outstanding performances, to be honest. But like, even Conor Cooney, 8 points in the Leinster final, 7 from play against a defensive team like Wexford. Now, what goes against him is that Galway won it convincingly. The Woolley Award for individual performance of the year has to go to, for me, goes obviously for me because it's the Woolley Award and that's my name, is Conor Lehan versus Tipperary. He scored 10 points. He scored 5 from play. He took over free taking duties. Cork were massive underdogs. You're going to Semple Stadium. First round of the Munster Championship, Cork coming off an awful lead, him an awful year the year before, him marking Ronan Maher, who was a dominant centre back, and taking him to the absolute cleaners and actually putting a doubt in Ronan Maher's head, and other players doing the same thing to him, just showing teams how to drag Ronan Maher out of position. Spectacular points from the sideline all over the place. One of the great, I was at the game, and maybe that elevates the whole memory for me, but it was one of the best performances I've ever seen. And for that reason, individual hurling performance of the year goes to Conor Lehan. All right, last individual award before we get to our teams of the year here, lads, and this is for GAR interview of the year. So we've been lucky enough to have loads of different intercounty players and managers on the show all year. So just going to name out some of my favourite and give the award. Tiernan McCann was on it. Don't know what idea I had in my head about Tiernan McCann before I interviewed him, but he came across as such a sound fella and was so honest in the interview about Tyrone tactics, about his own game, all sorts of good stuff in that interview. So if you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. He even said he's a huge fan of the podcast, which never does any harm when I want to hear about good interview. He listens to Ed Sheeran in the car when he's in a soppy mood, and he listens to the GAR in the car when he is in a GA mood. So
he wants to hear someone annoying him.
So, but me and Ed Sheeran Sheeran, two annoying pricks, basically. So thanks for that, Tiernan. Richie Hogan, lads, did a really good interview, as always. Always great to get Richie onto the show because he's so good and honest. And Richie, we played Richie a clip of a voicemail that he left on my phone, which was always funny. Stephen Rochford, lads, interviewed him after the Kerry game and quizzed him about Aidan O'Shea playing at full back. And Stephen Rochford came across as real, genuine, honest, explained the decision, made you think a little bit more playing Lee Keegan centre forward, and just kind of made you realise that there's a lot more to this inter-county management than sometimes just talking on a podcast. Like, I mean, how deeply they're thinking into things. And definitely came across, I would say anyone listening to that interview would have thought, Jesus, maybe it wasn't as bad an idea as I had originally been given out about. Johnny Glynn, after the All-Ireland final out in City West Hotel, was in top form. Loads of F-bombs have been thrown all over the place. If you have a chance to listen to that, listen to it. Jarlath Burns deserves a mention as well, lads. He's come on the show a few
Anytime
times.
Anytime Jarlath Burns is on,
yeah,
the
and he, to be fair, usually he's coming on to the podcast knowing that I've got a complete opposite opinion of him and still doesn't mind coming on and explaining it and going head to head with you on it. And you know, it's great to have him on the phone whenever we need him. Ross King was a lovely interview, lads. Leash hurling captain, if anyone gets a chance. And Damien Comer as well was really good during the league, really honest stuff out of him. The Woolley Award for GAA interview of the year has to go to Richie Hogan, and pretty much goes to Richie Hogan because of this.
Wake up, rise and shine, winter's gone and summer's fine. Wake up, wake up, wake up, rise and shine.
Yeah, so Richie Hogan for GAA interview of the year. Yeah, Tom Parsons should get an honourable mention for a great interview he did with us as well. Conan just pointed out to me before we gave the applause, he wasn't going to win it anyway. So Tom, but you listen, you're after getting your you're definitely a nomination.
Is it too late for Jeremy Connolly, because he was at the end of last year?
No, I looked at last year's Woolley Awards and Connolly was in the nominations for them. He's sick, he's actually a sick puppy, he's one sick Jeremy Connolly puppy, there's no doubt about it.
Keane looked disgusted.
That Jeremy Connolly was one of the most, I'd say it was probably the most intense interview I've ever done, as yeah. in I Why was on that? Edge the whole way through it, because he's an intimidating enough character and he was giving me plenty of kind of attitude a little bit, but
he just needs to get to know you.
You know yourself, will you?
Yeah. Okay, listen, we're going with hurling team of the year and we can go through this, Damien, and I'll give you my team and you can see whether you agree with it or not, because to be fair, usually I give out about All-Star teams, but the All-Star team that they picked last Friday night, well, it was released before last Friday night, not too many places up for grabs really on that. I thought the committee did a really good job on it.
Yeah, I know, in fairness, they did a pretty good job. So I felt sorry for Tuohy from Beha. I thought he might have got the nod, so I would at cornerback, which would have they moved back Mannion back into cornerback, they made room for Coleman at wing back, which I suppose it's hard to argue against Coleman not getting an All-Star either, because in fairness he was outstanding this year. So as All-Star team goes, in fairness it was pretty good. I just to mention Tuohy from Beha, I thought he was very, very unlucky not to get it. But often I have a bee in my bonnet where, for example, Mannion was playing wing back, you know, and he had an outstanding year wing back, and then he ends up getting the All-Star cornerback, means effectively then a cornerback, some really good cornerback out there, like the likes of Tuohy, lost out on an All-Star, you know. But no, in fairness, Tom, I think you're right, it was a pretty good All-Star team. Yeah, it was pretty fair.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think Pádraig Mannion, in my opinion, was the outstanding right half back of the championship, and for him to take a cornerback spot over cornerbacks who have been outstanding in the championship, I think that's wrong. I think the reason to put Pádraig Mannion in cornerback is because they bottled the decision for Mark Coleman versus Paddy Maher, who are two left half backs, specialised left half backs. So for me, it had to come between Mark Coleman and Paddy Maher for that position, and for me, Mark Coleman shades it. Paddy Maher wasn't at his best against Cork in the championship. He played well against Clare and played well against Galway, but for the standards that Paddy Maher sets himself, I don't think he had a stellar a year as he usually does. And Mark Coleman won a Munster title and was outstanding in all three games in Munster. So for me, Mark Coleman shades Paddy Maher. That should not knock Tuohy out, knock Colm Spillane out, knock specialised cornerbacks out of that position. So I presume you're going to put Tuohy in corner back and Mannion out wing back then, Damien. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's just to give him a mention, because I thought he did a great job. You know, Mark and McGrath there from Tipperary, you know, John McGrath, he did a pretty good job in the All-Ireland semi-final as well. So it was just to give a mention. You know, the team was pretty good. I just had two names in my head just to mention them that were unlucky, Colm, not to get All-Stars. And I'm just going to mention Tuohy and I'm going to mention Lee Chin. I just thought maybe the All-Star committee might have given Wexford an All-Star, and I thought Lee Chin, in fairness, was outstanding all through, and I mean league and championship. So maybe just to give them two players in particular a mention for, you know, unlucky not to get an All-Star.
Yeah, and I'd throw, you might think I'm obsessed with Connolly Han. I think he was very unlucky too, but he's up against Joe Canning. I'll name out the team first.
To be fair to Lehan, I think at the latter stage of the championship, I think he was carrying a bit of an injury, and I would agree with you, Colin. He had a brilliant start, but he was carrying and as you said, he was up against Joe Cannon. But I think he was carrying a little bit of a knock. If I remember, was his right knee or something strapped? There was a bit of doubt about him before a couple of games, but you're right. Maybe just to mention Cannigan as well.
He was very good too. Yeah, very good. Very good. All the Cork lads were really good in Munster. Like, I mean, you know, they were outstanding. I suppose Patrick Horgan elevates himself above everybody else because he performed against Waterford, where maybe everybody else didn't. But I still think if you beat Tipperary, if you beat Waterford, and if you beat Clare to win a Munster title, and you're brilliant in all those three games, like, you've should have an All-Star sewn up, regardless.
And you know what I would love to have seen, Colm, just when we're talking, right? I'd love to have seen what way would the Cork Waterford game have panned out if Cahalan didn't get sent off.
Yeah, no, that changed the whole game.
I would just say if Cork finished up with 15 players on the team, it could be a completely different All-Star team that was mentioned, because Cork would have got to the... I don't think Waterford were a dead sort to win that game up to that point, but I would have loved to know what would have happened if he didn't get sent off. And I sometimes feel sorry for that, like that, because it was just a stupid kind of a rash challenge, you know. So, and
Another big talking point there before we move off this, and we'll name out the team, is Stephen O'Keefe versus Anthony Nash. Now, for me, it's a bit like the football one, where it's so close that it's hard to know which way to come down. I'd have no problem with picking Stephen O'Keefe, but I would have had no problem with Anthony Nash getting it either.
Yeah, they probably gave it to O'Keefe because he got to the All Ireland final. So he did, and that's where I go. And I suppose the whole thing was, you know, Anthony Nash once again having such a brilliant puck out, and his puck out go to pinpoint positioning and into the hand. I think a lot of the media felt that Anthony Nash's puck outs didn't go to where they should have went and weren't pinpointed in the semi-final, which probably knocked him. And then, just to say it in, maybe Colm Canlan would have got the All-Star maybe for goals, if it wasn't maybe for, you know, the little slip up he made in the All-Ireland final with the soft goals. So, you know, it could have been a three-way toss up there, you know. But look at, I wouldn't deny Stephen O'Keefe he's All-Star either, you know, fair play.
Yeah, no, and he's a brilliant shot stopper, and he's a sweeper keeper. He's always available for passes.
And he made a brilliant save. So he did the other day on TG Carr. So he did in fairness against 6 Mile Bridge. Absolutely super save.
Yeah, right. Okay, so here's the hurling team of the year. Stephen O'Keefe in goals. You've Colm Spillane, Dahi Burke, and Noel Connors. Full back line, half back line, Padraig Mannion, Garrod McInerney, Mark Coleman. Midfield, Jamie Barron, David Burke. Half forward line, Kevin Moran, Joe Canning, Michael Brick Walsh, and full forward line Conor Whelan, Conor Cooney, and Patrick Horgan. Kevin Moran gets it wing forward, which I don't usually like. He lines out at midfield, but the way Waterford play, Kevin Moran practically plays in the half forward line. I think it's so kind of interchangeable with them. You're more than entitled to pick Kevin Moran at wing forward and have him, you know, happy enough that he plays there, because often Conor Gleeson goes back into midfield and plays some sort of a role there. So Kevin Moran moves around so much that it's hard to know. Player of the year in hurling, I've gone for Jamie Barron, and Young Player of the Year, I've gone for Conor Whelan. I have a feeling you might disagree with me on Player of the Year, Damien, but I don't think Joe is an absolute shoe-in for an All-Star, but from the standards you'd be used to from Joe, I don't think he's done enough for Player of the Year for me.
Yeah, well, look at it's debatable and all that sort of stuff. But look, at I'm going to give Hurler of the Year to Joe. I think he got the last five scores he did against Tipperary, and that was the final game, you know. And I have to be able to walk around as well, Colin, you know, and I'm able to try to go down hurling. So I'm not going to deny him that award. It's an absolutely fantastic award to win Hurler of the Year and All-Star the same day. So I'm giving my Hurler of the Year to Joe Cannon, and that's the way it is. Simple as that now, Colin Parkinson. Don't try to storm. Sorry.
Well, it's not the Damien Hayes Awards, it's the Woolley Awards. So we've Jamie.
Yeah, well, I think Colin, you're trying to start now. I'm giving my award to Joe Cannon.
And you're just after reminding me there, individual performance of the year should definitely have included Joe Canning for those last 5 points. I know he wasn't brilliant in the first half that day, but the last 5 points is such
working,
a tight game.
I was working off the list that you gave me.
Well, listen, you're entitled to just throw an extra one in there or not. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Listen, Damien, we'll let you go there. We won't keep you waiting for the football one. So thanks very much for your help.
Not at all. And thanks very much for the year, lads.
No bother.
So
all right, Damien. Okay, lads, we'll continue on here with the football team of the year. So there's probably a lot more talking points in this one, but we'll try and keep it as short as possible because, number one, the criteria I have for this team is that you can't be put in a position where you haven't played at the vast majority of the year. That's the reality of it. If you've had a brilliant year and somebody else who's played the same position as you has a brilliant year, that's a head-to-head on the two of you. You can't be shunted into another position to keep everybody happy. So based on those things, I'm going to start off with it with Stephen Cluxton in goals, right? Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to name out the team and then you can pull me up on whatever ones you want to pull me up on.
Might take a long time to name out the team.
So we've Stephen Cluxton in goals. The full back line is Chris Barrett, Michael Fitzsimons and Fintan Kelly. The half back line is Tiernan McCann, Keane O'Sullivan and Colin Boyle. In midfield, we have Kevin Feely and Tom Parsons. Half forward line, we have Kevin McLaughlin, Aidan O'Shea and Conor Callaghan. And the full forward line, we have Paul Mannion, Conor Harrison and Andy Moran. Now, ones to miss out is Fintan Kelly wins over Keith Higgins, which was a really tough call. Tiernan McCann wins right half back ahead of Lee Keegan and Paul Murphy, who were very close to that position as well. Lee Keegan probably losing out in that his best game all year came in midfield against Enda Smith. Colin Boyle edges out Conor Devaney and Jack McCaffrey. Jack McCaffrey, very unlucky. He went off in the All-Ireland final, which probably, you know, got Colin Boyle the nod over him. Kevin Feely gets midfield ahead of James McCarthy, and I'll explain James McCarthy. Some people think he's player of the year. James McCarthy did his best work this year when he went back wing back when Jack McCaffrey went off. He took the game but a scruff of the neck in his best position as wing back. He's played half wing back. He marked Sean Cavan in the semi-final against Tyrone, so he wasn't midfield that day either. Against Carlo, he didn't play midfield. So Kevin Feely was outstanding against Leash, against Mead and against Dublin. He roasted Brian Fenton in Croke Park, like really drove his team on to new levels. Fetch and ball, all Kildare's game plan was based around Kevin Feely. Long kickouts, him catching it. Freeze off the right, freeze off the left. I think he had the outstanding midfield performances this year. James McCarthy didn't have the outstanding midfield performances. He didn't even have a good first half in the All-Ireland final. Wasn't outstanding in midfield. I think Tiernan McCann had played more games and more games well at wing back. So James McCarthy's almost a victim of, I don't know, where I see Kevin Feely and Tiernan McCann as better in those two positions than what he was. So, for that reason, he loses out. Tom Parsons versus Colm Kavanagh was a tough decision at midfield. I think Colm Kavanagh not having any set position and Tom Parsons just dominating the midfield, just constantly driving Mayo on. Paul Mannion versus Paul Geaney. I think Paul Mannion shades that one. I think Paul Geaney being picked at 14 isn't right when Kieran Donaghy played at 14 all year for Kerry. Andy Moran then played a two-man full forward line, so he wears 14, but you can easily pick him 15, and he edges out Dean Rock. So they're kind of the tough calls that were up. Like Michael Fitzsimons, lucky enough, he got roasted in the All-Ireland final, but he was probably the standout fullback because there weren't too many standout fullbacks. But then again, a lot of teams play a two-man full forward line, so what's a fullback anymore as well? So I'm trying to keep traditional shape on it, and I'm trying to keep it as much as possible in the positions that you were outstanding in.
And but I think that's the problem, sort of, like we're saying. Kavanagh, I think there is outrageous that he's not in it. Call him Kavanagh. But
see, where do you play him?
Well, but you're saying he doesn't have a set position. He does have a set position for Tyrone, so we need to work something here that we can change this outdated.
I played around with Colm Kavanagh as centre half back, right? Because he plays the Keane O'Sullivan role and kind of drops off centre half back in front of the full back line. But like, I mean, you can't pick Colm Kavanagh ahead of Keane O'Sullivan. Like, Keane O'Sullivan completely snuffed Daniel Flynn out in the Leinster final. He's Mr. Consistent. He doesn't make mistakes. And like, Colm Kavanagh, he wasn't better than Tom Parsons. Like, see, this is what you have to come down with. Was Colm Kavanagh better than Tom Parsons as a midfielder?
I think he was better though as a player. Like, Tom Parsons was class, but I think Colm Kavanagh was better than Tom Parsons, over the more valuable to his team.
See, but that's not the all-star team though. You know what I mean? That's like then Colm Kavanagh up for player of the year with no defined actual role. If you're trying to pick a team based on 1-15, yeah, I don't see where Colm Kavanagh
goes in. But that formation's outdated, even on program. Nobody uses that formation anymore. So the system or the format here is all wrong. It does not keep up the speed.
Yeah. But based off this format, which is, you, I can agree with you and say it's outdated, but then do you give an all-star for a sweeper? Like, what way can you do it then? You know, I know the all-star committee only name backs now and forwards. They don't actually name, you know, full back line and half back line. But at the same time, there's just something wrong with Dean Rock winning number 10 all-star when Kevin McLaughlin was the outstanding number 10 in the country.
Yeah, well, I think, look, let's try and find a bit of consensus here, right, between us even, at least. We both have Stephen Cluxton in goals.
Yeah.
Of the six defenders, we have four. We have a consensus of four. So we have Michael Fitzsimons, we have Keane O'Sullivan, we have Colin Boyle, and we have Chris Barrett. My other two that I had in the defence are Jack McCaffrey and Lee Keegan.
So Colin, you didn't go with Colin Boyle
or Tiernan McCann?
No, I have Colin Boyle. Sorry, Fitzsimons, Keane O'Sullivan, Colin Boyle, Chris Barrett, Jack McCaffrey, and Lee Keegan. They're
okay.
My six.
See, so I wouldn't.
Like, I got rid of Higgins from the All Star team, and I got rid of Clark, say, from the back seven.
Okay.
Middle of the field.
See, Cluxton. The one thing to mention, the Cluxton and Clark thing caused a lot of controversy. And like, I mean, this is another toss up, right? Last year was a toss-up, and Clark won a toss-up last year, even though Clark had a bit of a brain freeze in the drawn match, got dropped for the replay, and then, like, Cluxton was...
No, you have to look at this. Like, to me, it's mad. Like, Cluxton is clearly a better goalkeeper than Clark.
Yeah.
He's a cooler head, and he's done it more consistently in the big games. Now, Clark is brilliant, but if you think about it, he was dropped by his manager for a replay of an All-Ireland final. Stephen Cluxton would never be dropped, no matter what team he's in. If you were the manager of a team, Cluxton would be in ahead of Clark every single time. Nobody would have Clark ahead of Cluxton.
Yeah.
And Cluxton, did Cluxton put a foot wrong this season? How many times did we talk about the masterclass that Cluxton gave in his kicking?
Yeah.
Given Dublin
now,
possession
a lot of his kickouts go to the corner back now, but that's only because teams are spooked and they give that to him. Two huge saves was Daniel Flynn in the Leinster final and Jason Doherty in the All-Ireland final. Cluxton, when needed, and he saved Peter Hart's penalty in the All-Ireland semi-final. That game was over at that stage, but he still saved it. I don't know what more Stephen Cluxton needs to do to get an All-Star. He hasn't got one since 2013.
That's crazy.
Like, this is, he's won three All-Irelands. This is like Gooch Cooper winning three All-Irelands and him not getting one. It's unheard tell of.
Well, I think he's been judged, for some bizarre reason, he's been judged by a different standard, which I don't think is fair. I think it should be judged on, was he the best goalkeeper? And he was the best goalkeeper. And you only have to look at some of the things. To me, being a goalkeeper is not about, oftentimes it's not about the good things you do, because let's face it, if a man comes through one-on-one with the goalkeeper, look, it's almost lucky sometimes if the keeper saves it. So what you have to look at is, how many mistakes did the keeper make over the course of the season? And to me, and it's not a criticism of Clark, because Clark did have a good season, but when you're comparing, this is the difficulty, when you're trying to compare two players, you kind of, in order to try and big one up, you're kind of putting down the other player, and that's not right either.
Yeah.
To me, without any further explanation, Cluxton is my goalkeeper, and I don't really think I need to explain myself on it.
Yeah, no, look, I don't think so either. And like, I mean, it is a bizarre thing. I think, like, especially after Clark shading it last year, I was surprised that Cluxton was shaded again this year. But anyway, so we're all agreed on Cluxton.
Yeah.
Conor, you'd agree with that. I went with Fintan Kelly, cornerback, attacking cornerback, scored three goals from cornerback, maybe kind of redefining these cornerbacks. I went with Chris Barrett because he did brilliant man marking jobs, and I went with Fintan Kelly because he's just a different type of cornerback. The standout Monaghan player in a disappointing year for Monaghan, he kind of stood head and shoulders above a lot of the other Monaghan players. And, you know, I think that's what an all-star is all about, because again, it's all relative. It's all about performing above your expectations and your standards and having a brilliant, brilliant year. And I think he had that brilliant, brilliant year. And, like, you know, it's not always the individual's fault that your team didn't get that one game or two games ahead, you know, for everyone to agree with your All-Star. I don't think that's what the All-Stars are about. Because the way it's going, lads, is the All-Ireland finalists are getting 13 All-Stars. And, like, I mean, that's not what I see the All-Stars as.
No, well, let's stick to the task here, right? We have two extras. You have Tiernan McCann and Fintan Kelly.
Yeah,
right?
I think McCann has to come straight in. Like, I think he was the best wing back in the country.
I think as a number five,
is
right?
Is he better than Jack McCaffrey?
Well, Jack McCaffrey played seven, right? So I'm sticking Jack McCaffrey seven, right? This is the way I look at it. Right, you have to trust me on this. I played left half back. Playing left half back and playing right half back are two completely different ball games.
Well, I have Colin Boyle at right half back, and I'll have him out, and I'll have McCaffrey.
Now,
in
to be honest
seven.
With you, I don't mind just switching the two. I'll accept switching two wings. I think Tiernan McCann really, really, he worked really hard on his kicking. His kicking points off the outside of his boot is sensational. His breaking at pace is sensational. It's not his fault. Like, he kicked an unbelievable one against Dublin that day. Like, I mean, you know, he was outstanding throughout the Ulster Championship, and they won the Ulster title. So, like, I mean, Tyrone should have a representative, and in my head Tiernan McCann is right half back. His only other opposition are Lee Keegan and Paul Murphy, is very close to winning an All-Star right half back. Colin Boyle, Conor Devaney, Jack McCaffrey, I have them in as left half back, so I have them going head to head. And it's interesting as well that when you look at Stephen Cluxton versus David Clark and all the different controversy about that, that is the only position where All-Star committees actually put two players head to head, because they can't move them anywhere else. So, like, I mean, I think those difficult decisions of Cluxton versus Clark, they should remain consistent right throughout the field.
Right. Well, let's keep with the defence here. Right. So most teams play with two men inside forward line. Right. So we need to have two lads marking our full back line. So who do we want in there? We've agreed that Mick Fitzsimons is going to be one of them. So
Fitzsimons and Barrett.
Is he getting away with it? Getting just sliding on there, no opposition.
He did well on McManus. Now, you see, the great thing for Fitzsimons is he's on a team that wins every game very well. So, like, I mean, it's easier look. Well, so, like, this is all relative, but I thought he, like, I mean, the way I looked at it, at full back, who would go in ahead of him? Or do you pick three cornerbacks in your full back line? Like, I know he wears three on his back, but he probably is a cornerback as well, you know. So it is a difficult one.
And even if you look at the All-Ireland final, I'm fairly sure Keane O'Sullivan started out full-back in the final, didn't he? So, or
he did
certainly played a lot of his game in there. So, look, at the thing about it is there's so much versatility now with defenders and what they can do. And I suppose as well as that, with the tactical setups of teams, you really only have maybe four, at a maximum sometimes, four players that are holding that defensive shape, and you're giving licence to players to bomb forward. And in fairness, all the players mentioned are top class. I mean, it's a flick of a coin between the likes of Tiernan McCann, Keegan, Murphy, Boyle, you know, Jack McCaffrey, for these attack-minded defensive players. And they're all brilliant at it. And even James McCarthy, I would have him. His best position is in the half-back line.
His wing-back, yeah. You know. Isn't it funny, like, even you have Chris Barrett in one corner and you have Fintan Kelly in the other, and they're completely different players, like Higgins and Chris. Like, Keith Higgins now doesn't really play a cornerback because the two markers are Chris Barrett when they need him and Harrison.
Keith
Higgins is not given a man-marking job anymore. He's given a licensed kind of job. You'd nearly say Keith Higgins is a wing-back now more than a cornerback.
Yeah, Harrison is a great player as well, and he was probably close enough to being in the top 10 or 12 defenders in the country this year again. And I suppose Hamzy from Tyrone as well in the half-back line did a lot of good attacking work, and he was pretty good.
Okay, so, let's go to midfield here and see what you think. So I'm going with the Woolley Awards backline as Stephen Cluxton, Chris Barrett, Michael Fitzsimons, Fintan Kelly, Tiernan McCann, Keane O'Sullivan and Colin Boyle. Right, so go to midfield now, lads, where I have Kevin Feely and Tom Parsons, and see what you think.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with it. I had Parsons and McCarthy, but I suppose it was on the base of McCarthy's form throughout the year and the defenders I was picking, so I would quite happily shoehorn Kevin Feely in there along with Parsons, because Feely had an absolutely brilliant season, and so did Parsons.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair for James McCarthy to miss out here, lads? But based on where he's played half his year one position, half his year,
and he's also missed a good few championship games as well. So, I mean, like, if you can't judge it on 35 minutes of good football to be an all star. To me, it's about consistent level of performance throughout the season. And also, I would like to think that there's some sort of a weighting towards league form. Maybe 20% of your league form is considered.
If you're picking an Irish team now, you'd pick James McCarthy number five, right? If you were picking your best team in the country, I would anyways, I'd have him number five. But that's not what this year is based on. He loses out to McCann as a wing back, and he loses out to Kevin Mafili But he was nominated for Player of the Year, and I think that was based on his second half in the All Ireland final. But I don't remember. I remember saying this in the podcast. I don't remember James McCarthy being anywhere near the running for Footballer of the Year before that brilliant 35 minutes.
Yeah, well, like if you were thinking about say you're going to pick the two, you had a choice of any, you're picking your two best midfielders in the country. You know, you'd have David Moore and Brian Fenton. You'd have Kevin Feely. Outside of that, I think
Parsons
would be in the mix. Colm Kavanagh, probably not, but you'd be talking about him in some way, shape, or form. You're talking about McCarthy. But to me, you know, Moran and Fenton would be the two you'd be going for if you were going for your first pick. But unfortunately, both of them, while they had decent seasons, weren't probably at the standard that you would normally expect. And other guys really stepped up on different occasions. So, I mean, to me, I think, yeah, Feely and Parsons, it's hard to disagree with. Agree with, you know, it's hard to totally agree, but it's hard to, you know, hammer you on it either.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any way, you know, we've moved off the fence, but can we move Colm Kavanagh into the fence and free up? And like, I think it's crazy that Colm Kavanagh isn't in this back eight.
See, this is the thing. Colm Kavanagh's a victim of the way it's run.
You probably want Kavanagh in your team if you're picking so many attacking half backs. So, you know, if you're looking for the balance of a team here, but I think we have to look at the performance levels during the year. And Colm Kavanagh was magnificent, but I don't think he was as good as Parsons or as good as Feely. Like, Feely probably had three or four. Like, how many championship games did he play? And he's probably almost man of the match.
This is the man of the match. Now, I know Colm Kavanagh was very good, but I remember him having an outstanding game against Donegal. I don't remember him being man of the match in other games, whereas Feely was like the talking point, man of the match, fetcher, like dominating the games. I know Colm Kavanagh always plays well, but sometimes I think it can be, he's a very easy role too. He's no responsibility. Like, I mean, he gets on ball, he can make a few tests. He doesn't have any marking responsibility. He can't actually get taken to cleaners because he drops off his man, someone else collects him, and Tyrone have a whole load of lads back. I do think it is an easy enough role. He stands around the full back line, he'll get hands on and hands off, but he's
does it as well. Like, if he wasn't there, there'd be much more leaks, and there aren't any leaks because he's there.
Yeah, I don't know. There were leaks against Dublin. Like, I mean, I do think it can be overblown, these free roles. And I put Keane O'Sullivan to the same. Like, Keane O'Sullivan played best when he's marking someone. Keane O'Sullivan, like, goes through games. I think it can be somewhat overblown, you know, how well they play in a game where they're basically covering space and they're using their game intelligence. But, like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think Colm Kavanagh, the only place I would have played Colm Kavanagh is instead of Keane O'Sullivan, because all he does in midfield is contest kickouts. Other than that, he's playing Keane O'Sullivan's kind of sweeping role, and I think Keane O'Sullivan had better year.
And if you put Colm Kavanagh back to six, I wouldn't fancy his chances up against top class forward in a 1-1.
No, because you'd make sure he has to mark.
We're not picking a team to play. We're picking the best.
Yeah,
team
I accept that.
What
as well.
What about Andy Smith?
Enda Smith. No, Enda Smith just had a man of the match performance in a Connacht final. I don't think he's in the running for midfield at all.
He's a victim of their fixtures, like having to beat Leitrim to get the Connacht final.
A little bit, but also the roasting Lee Keegan gave him. Like, I mean, that's definitely going to count against him. There's no doubt about that. Half forward line, lads, any of you disagreeing? I think Niall Sludden's worth a mention for taking on Aidan O'Shea for that centre half forward. Now, he doesn't play a traditional centre half forward, but Niall Sludden will never let you down. He's industrious, he's really busy, and he can get his scores. And he's the only one. I think Kevin McLaughlin as a 10 and Conor Callaghan as a 12, there is nobody coming anywhere close to either two of them in those two positions.
Again, Conor Callaghan probably didn't really play as a wing forward. So that
he did in a lot of games. He did.
He might have worn 12, but he didn't really play there. He was left up for Dublin in the attack. Mannion maybe had more of a defensive role at times. I have four of your six forwards. I don't think Conor Harrison should be near the All-Star team.
I think Conor Harrison is the definition of the All-Star team, because Conor Harrison was arguably man of the match in three of his four championship games. What more, he played, and this is a down team going into games as massive underdogs against Armagh, against Monaghan twice, and against Tyrone. Now, he wasn't good against Tyrone, but he got no supply. What is an All-Star if it's not playing way, way, way above expectations, playing way above yourself in three quarters of the games that you played, in games you're not given a chance
at? No, I don't disagree with that, but they played Monaghan twice, and we saw what Monaghan were like when they played.
Monaghan's defence is lauded every year.
Well, they weren't too hot when they played against Dublin. So, I mean, the thing about it is, You have to temper that as well with the Hockeyans that Monaghan and Tyrone got
If that's the case, you wouldn't give Paul Mannion or Conor Callaghan an All-Star because they waltzed through every team outside of the final. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you still
have
to... No,
but they waltzed through because they were the best players of the best team.
Yeah, but Conor Harrison waltzed through Monaghan because he's a brute of a man, and he waltzed through Armagh because he was unplayable.
Yeah, but he's saying Conor Harrison's not playing against the best standard, but the best standard is Mannion and O'Callaghan, isn't it?
No, that's not making any sense. Like, I mean, Paul Mannion and Conor Callaghan weren't playing against the best standard.
Yeah, because they are the standard. They're the standard bearers.
Yeah, but Conor Harrison is playing against...
But he's saying he's not playing against the best teams. He's playing against Monaghan.
I think he's played against Monaghan twice. And I think he's played well in all of them. I just think that other players have done more over the course of the season than him to earn an all-star place. Like, I think three good matches in a championship, it's very hard. Like, I know there's some other guys probably.
We only played four, so it's all relative. What more can he do? You know, that kind of way. This is an individual award.
He couldn't have done much more, but he's not good enough to be in the all-star team based on the performances of his peers. In the same season.
So what's your forward line there, Solex?
My full forward line was Paul Gainey, Andy Moran and Dean Rock.
Yes, Paul mine Gainey, as well, yeah.
Andy Moran and Dean Rock.
And my half forward line was Paul Mannion, Aidan O'Shea, and Conor Callaghan.
That's mine as well.
Mannion played centre forward in a good few games.
He did not, lads. He's a corner forward. He's a number 13. Well, you're off your heads. You're pigeoning lads in. This
you
is
got
exactly
it perfectly.
Well, they're my six anyway.
That's grand.
I don't need to explain myself.
Why don't you play a Cluxton corner back there and actually bottle out of that decision
but like,
as well?
Yeah, but like those
this
keepers.
Mannion versus Gainey, lads. It's Paul Mannion versus Gainey. You can't have both of
but
them.
Nobody
in the same
plays
team.
That way. The formations are all different. I feel it's fine for keepers because there are only that is a set position. But outfield, everybody has so many different formations, and Mannion, you could argue, was playing wing forward a lot of times.
No, you're talking about Paul Mannion and Paul Gainey playing in two teams that play as traditional a structure of their forward line as possible. That Niall Scully plays number 10 on the Dublin team. That's banker. He played all year, and when he didn't play, who got in from the final? Paul Flynn got in for the final. When you look at the other side, Conor Callaghan played or Dear McConnelly, and centre forward would be Kieran Kilkent. Dublin is one team that has a half forward line. So you can't play Paul Mannion in a line that Dublin clearly has a half forward line, and Paul Mannion or Dean Rock is not in that line. They're in the full forward line as possible.
Paul Mannion played a lot of his football out in the half forward line. A significant portion of the season played. Dublin rotate their forward line a lot. Yeah. So oftentimes, how often did we speak about the Dublin midfielders being up in the left corner forward position holding the width? So I don't agree that they're quite fluid in their movements.
Yes, Paul Mannion.
I'm going with the approach of six forwards, the six best forwards, and I've picked what I think were the six best forwards in this.
This is where we differ. I'm picking the six best forwards in the positions that they played, and well, I'm making
Andy,
hard.
Andy
I
make, Moran didn't play corner forward; he played full forward.
Well, he didn't. He played in a two-man full forward line, so there's a grey area there that you can move Andy Moran into any of the three positions. Well, that's the reality of it. Anyways, Les, we've probably gone way overboard on this. Like, you can only imagine going up against Martin Brettany in an All-Stars selection committee and trying to argue these cases. Like, I mean, I don't know how many's on the All-Stars panel. Like, I mean, this is us arguing and bickering.
There's no criteria for it. I mean, it's a stupid exercise, really, until they define what it should be based on. I mean, there's nobody even confirming whether it's based on championship, based on league. By the looks of the All-Star team, it's based on from quarter-final stages onwards, and they don't really consider anything that pretty much happens
that's
before
what I,
that.
That's exactly what and, I think and so. And they're the big games. And I think that's why, like, this year it's been dominated by Dublin and Mayo. And you've only got how many All-Stars outside of Dublin and Mayo? Colm Kavanagh, and is that it? Oh, Paul Gainey. So you've got 13 from the two All-Ireland finalists. Now, like, I mean, I think it's gone so far that way that I think it's wrong. And that's why on the All-Star team I pick, I tried to bring some... Now, this year was difficult, actually, because there was an awful lot of letdowns from a lot of counties. So Dublin and Mayo did have a lot of the best performers.
Well, one of the things that I heard Paul Gainey making the point that what he thought would be a good way of doing it was basically that after each match, it's kind of voted on who was the best player in each match kind of thing, and then those players will go forward to be the All-Stars at the end of the year, as opposed to a guy who plays consistently 7 or 8 out of 10 in 10 matches versus the guys who have outstanding performances. But then again, you know, if you play magnificently well in two matches and you're completely non-existent in another two, does that mean you're an All-Star? Like, it's very, very difficult to try and do it. I think a player's ratings out of 10 and your score is added up by the end of the season and whatever the top six defenders are put in a bracket or just the top 15 players.
But I do think, like, if you go to Mayo and you say, who was your best on the full back line? and they'll say Chris Barrett or Higgins. So you can only choose one per county for line. Like, you can't have a case where Mayo could have four backs or something, and Dublin have to choose who's their best halfback. So then the most Dublin can have is six. Are the All-Ireland champions? Mayo can have a six. No one can have more than six, because you, like, your best player on each line of the field,
and then you compare the best team.
But you can, can you really have eight or nine eight players from the All-Ireland champions? Okay, fair enough. In Galway, in the hurling, they had seven, and you couldn't argue with any of them because they were all absolute outstanding players. Here you have Dublin with five and Mayo with six, and it's very hard to argue against any of them. Because I think it's been a very underwhelming year for last year we had Tipperary, we had Clare, all coming out of the woodwork, and Galway won a Connacht title. Yeah. This year you have a lot of letdown. You know,
you don't have the same spread.
No,
of quality
where you'd like
teams.
To spread it around, but you just didn't. Like, when you're picking it, you're outside of Kevin Feely, Conor Harrison, for me, Tiernan McCann, and Fintan Kelly, the best players of the whole year were Dublin and Mayo, you know what I mean? So that's the way it is, and that's all we have time for, because that went probably a little bit longer than we thought. I might actually edit some of that bickering out. We don't want to get to a Luke Fitzgerald, Paul Kimmage levels of kind of unproduced bickering.
I should have known when I saw you with bits of paper here, you had an agenda, holy.
Meant to say player of the year is Andy Moran, and young player of the year is Conor Callaghan. There was no surprises there at all, so that goes without saying for all of us, and isn't it great that we all agree on that, so we can get the hell out of here. Right, that's all we have time for this year, and we'll see you for the 8th annual Woolly Awards this time next year. Good luck.